الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding your faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rules, regulations of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, and some means of taking notes or keeping track of this class. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students to the class, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's class, we're going to discuss harming or hurting of others. And many of you know that. Maybe you may be going through the pain of being hurt by somebody or being harmed by somebody. And if you haven't done it, consider yourself fortunate by the will of Allah, but one day you may be. And so I want to let you know the Islamic perspective regarding the harming of others and the hurting of others. Allah says in chapter 3, verse 186, that's chapter 3, verse 186. I'm going to give you a little bit of time to open that up because you should have your Quran next to you, because I want you to follow along with me. And keep in mind, as I read, I'm going to be reading things mostly in English, and some English translation a little bit different. Also, you have some that have the English or the Spanish or French or other or Urdu, other languages translated from the Arabic. But the Arabic is the true language of Quran. It's the original language of Quran. Quran is in Arabic language, not so much, and it's just a rough translation of English and Spanish and French and other and Urdu and other languages. Allah says in chapter 3, verse 186, He says, "You shall certainly be tested with by the means of your wealth and by your persons. And you will certainly hear much of that is harmful from those who were given the book before you and from the mushrik," meaning those who associate partners with Allah. "But if you endure with patience and have fear of Allah, this will certainly be a proof of your firm determination." And see, when we look at this particular verse or ayah from Quran, it's talking about people are going to say things and do things that are hurtful to you. But we must be patient and have fear of Allah. Those are the most enduring ones and the ones that are more endearing to Allah. If you just have patience, be among those who are patient. Now, there are at least five comprehensive fundamentals of which the Sharia is the Islamic law, came to preserve or protect from being harmed or hurting of others. So I'm going to just name five of them. There are plenty more, but I'm going to name at least five of them that the Sharia, the Islamic law, come to preserve in terms of protecting us from harm and preserving us from harm and being hurt. Number one is preservation of religion. By praying Salat, or praying Salat is prayer, five times a day, fasting the month of Ramadan, avoiding all sins, all corruptions, and all types of evils. This is how we preserve our religion. Our religion don't all have it like this. But in Islam, we have it like this to preserve our religion from harm and hurting of others. We pray 5 times a day, fast the month of Ramadan, avoid all sins, all corruptions, and also avoid all types of evil. Number two, preserving of human life. We would do that by protecting our own lives and not harming others or harming ourselves. Protecting others' lives and avoiding killing any person, except of course for self-defense or fighting feasibility law. Of course, people get hurt during that time. But otherwise, we don't just go around killing people, because to kill one person, as if we kill all of mankind, and we save a life of one person, as if we save the life of all of mankind. The third thing that Islam or Sharia come to protect or preserve is preserving the akal, which is the, or you call the intellect. By staying away from alcohol, drugs, of course, the drugs that get you high, drugs that are good for you medically, that's one thing. But drugs that you're taking to get high, no, that's harmful to you, to your alcohol, to your intelligence. And by all mind-altering substance, and staying away from pornography and other things like that's going to really alter your mind and have you thinking really in a crooked way. Number four, preservation of wealth. By earning a halal, meaning permissible income, and using it to provide for oneself with food, clothing, and also accommodation, avoiding all prohibited sources of income, such as usury, or riba, meaning interest, and also stealing, gambling, etc. And you all could add to the list as you like. And the last one, that the Sharia comes to preserve from us from harming, getting harm, harming ourselves, or harming others, or hurting others. And that is the preservation of lineage, or nasb. And that is honor by abstaining, or a person's honor, by abstaining from all sexual sins like fornication, adultery, zina, and other perverted sexual acts. And whatever leads to these sex, these sins, this is done. We preserve it. Our lineage is being done by getting married and having children through marriage, thus protecting the lineage of the children. I won't go into details regarding having children outside of wedlock. I'm sorry, but we're talking about preserving the lineage, and one way a person preserves the lineage is, of course, having children through marriage. And I had mentioned I'm going to go over them backwards, talking about wealth in a way, and by utilizing money through halal way, permissible way, and buying our clothing and those kind of things and accommodations in a halal way, and not doing things prohibited or haram. Source of income, such as riba, or usury, or stealing, gambling, etc. Also, we're talking about preserving of which is preserving alcohol by staying away from alcohol, drugs, and all kinds of mind-altering substances, or even pornography. And I mentioned about preserving human life. And that's by protecting our lives and not harming others, or also protecting the lives and avoiding killing of other people. And lastly, and the first that I mentioned, was preservation of religion. And we do that preservation of religion if by making the 5 daily prayers, remember the law, at least 5 times a day in our prayers, fasting the month of Ramadan. I mean, in fact, 29 to 30 days of Muslims, and avoiding all types of sins, all types of corruption, and all types of evil. So those are some of the comprehensive ways, or fundamental ways, that the Sharia protects us from harming ourselves and others, or hurting ourselves and others. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, he said, If anyone harms others, Allah will harm him. And if anyone shows hostility to others, Allah will show hostilities to him. So we want to be careful of this and not harm other people or harm people, because Allah may end up harming us, or be hostile towards other people because Allah may be hostile towards us. So we don't want to do any kind of harm towards other people, along with the five harms that I mentioned, and how Islam protects us from those five harms that I mentioned. Also, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be blessed upon him, he said, if you are three, and two shall not converse secretly, to the exclusion of your companion, for that hurts his feelings. In other words, you and I, or I'm with someone else, and we had a third person there, and you and I start having a conversation between us, and we leave this other person out. We don't have, and the person may think, oh, we start whispering back and forth to each other, and this person may feel like, man, they're talking about me. And so we don't want this person to feel like this, and so we're creating a harm to this person, and we don't want to harm this person, nor do we want to be that third person, and the person is harming us. And equally to that is a person that may not understand the language that you're speaking. So you see someone, and you and he, or you and she, whomever, you all start speaking a particular language, and the third person with you do not understand that language. So again, there may be a situation where, again, you are harming that third person. You know how to speak the language that they speak. The other person knows how to speak the language the third person speaks. So speak that language. So you don't bring any harm to the person, because Shaitan is going to mess with the person and say they're talking about you. They're saying this about you or that about you, all these kind of things, and may really not be saying anything about you at all negatively. So please be careful about that. And the Prophet Muhammad, he talked about when you have three people and two are having a conversation between each other, and the third person is kind of left out, you may be harming that individual by just basically having this conversation between just the two of you. Also, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, he said, whoever believes in Allah, the last day shall talk what is good or keep quiet. And whoever believes in Allah in the last day should not hurt or insult his neighbor. And whoever believes in Allah in the last day shall entertain his guests generously. So we should talk or say good or don't say up nothing at all. Just be quiet. If your lips or your tongue or whatever cannot say good things, then just be quiet. You all know what I'm talking about. I want to say other words, but just be quiet. Don't say bad things about an individual that you're going to end up hurting them, or end up hurting your neighbor, or backbiting your neighbor, or something like that. I want you to understand the rewards that a person gets when they do hurt you. I'm not saying you want people to go around hurting you so you get a reward, but I'm just going to mention this to you. It was mentioned by Ibn Mas'ud, one of the Prophet's companions. I visited the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, while he was having a high fever. I touched him and said, you have a very high fever. He said, yes, as much fever as two of you may have. Okay, it's like double what you have. He said, yes, as much fever as two of you may have. I said, you will have a double reward? He said, yes. No Muslim is afflicted with harm caused by disease or some other inconvenience, but that Allah will remove sins as a tree sheds its leaves. So you may be harmed by something, even having a cold or having a fever, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glory be to Allah, that he may relieve you of some sins, like the leaves leaving the tree or being shaken from the tree. And so you may go through something with this individual, maybe harm by even by the mere fact that you're sick, but you may gain so much from it. So I just wanted to just kind of mention this as an aside to my students. I want to mention something right now, something more current. and give you a current example that may be harmful or hurtful to yourself or others. And that is the vaccination for COVID-19 or coronavirus. Since coronavirus, COVID-19 is worldwide, we all some kind of way experience or know someone experience it. But some people refuse to get vaccinated. And so in a sense, they are hurting themselves and hurting others. But that is their choice. But I want them to keep in mind that by not doing that, you may be hurting yourself and you may be hurting other people. I cannot tell people, and I already shared with you, I already had the coronavirus, or the COVID-19. I had that, but I also got the two shots. I can't tell you to get vaccinated. I cannot tell you not to get vaccinated, but something to think about it, because you may end up hurting your family if you catch it. Or you may be hurting some other people that are not your family members or friends because you're a carrier. So I'm just mentioning that to you, but it's your choice and your decision to make. But I don't. Hopefully you won't go around hurting or harming other people. But I just wanted to mention that to you as something more current, so you maybe get an even better idea of what I'm talking about when I'm talking about hurting and harming of other people, or killing someone, or hitting someone, or stealing from people. All these kind of ways that you hurting or harming other people. It's also mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He said, "The Muslim is one from whose tongue and hand the people are safe. And the believer is one from whom the people's lives and wealth are safe." So I just want to mention some things when you talk about people being safe from other people, safe from being harmed, and safe from being hurt by other people. And so the Muslim is one whose tongue and hands the people are safe from. We're not going to harm you with our tongues. We're not going to harm you or harm you or hurt you with our hands. We're not going to do this. This is what the Muslim is supposed to do. You may have some that do this, but what I'm just letting you know what they're supposed to do. And you decide to become Muslim, this is what you are supposed to do. Is that people should be safe from your tongue, the things that you say, and also from your hands, the things that you do to people. Also, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, "A Muslim is he from whose hand and tongue the Muslims are safe." So even when you hear sometime a Muslim hurting a Muslim, this is wrong. As it says here in this particular hadith, saying the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, "A Muslim is he whose hand and tongue the Muslims are safe." So we don't harm anyone. As I mentioned in the first hadith, is that people, period, are not hurt with the person's harm, they're not hurt or harmed with the person's hand or their tongue. And the Muslim are not the hurt of the Muslims with their hand or with their tongue. Also, Abu Musa said, "The Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessing be upon him," he was asked, "Which of the Muslims has the most blessings or virtuous?" He said, "The one whom the Muslims are safe from his tongue and his hands." You want to be the most virtuous Muslim, those who are Muslims that are listening to me. And it says here, he asked the question, who is the most virtuous? Who are the best amongst the Muslims? He said, "The one whom the Muslims are safe from his tongue and his hands." I'm going to read a couple more and then I will stop. Also, it was narrated by Abu Huraira. He said he was one of the Prophet's companions. He memorized many, many hadith, about 5,000 or so. He used to work very little, but he used to hang around the Prophet a lot. He was very poor. And Abu Huraira, he used to always carry a cat around and be stroking his cat. It was his pet. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, the Muslim is the one from the harm of whose tongue and hand other Muslims are safe. And the believer is the one from whom the people trust their blood and their wealth. So is he here the first thing, first part, that the Muslim is the one who does harm anyone with their tongue and their hands, and Muslims are safe? Also, the believer is the one who the people trust with their blood and their wealth. You want a believer? You want to be a true believer? Then you be one of these people. One of the people that trust in you. That trust in you that you're not going to harm them. You're not going to draw blood on them. That if they give you their wealth, they're going to make sure that their wealth returns to them, no problem. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when they started to attack him and his followers in Mecca. And then he told his father, go to Medina, because you got people in Medina, they will help you and they will protect you. And he sort of stayed behind, and also his father-in-law stayed behind, Abu Bakr Siddiq. But before he left, people trusted him. These were non-Muslims, all Muslims too, trusted him. People just trusted him. And they would give him things that they trust him with. And so, because they knew they was going to be safeguarded, they knew they was going to return it, that kind of thing. And so, he would, before he even left, the people wanted to kill him. They attempted to kill him several times. So before he even left, to go to from the hostile place, which was Mecca, to Medina, a more peaceful place where the people welcome him. Before he left this hostile place, he made sure everyone that gave him something, he returned it to them. Because they entrusted him. He was El Amin. He wasn't trustworthy. And he lived up to his name. He could have just left. Or left the thing someplace and left for those. Hey, this is your stuff here. Go get it at such a place. No. He returned to every individual that he got it from. And they entrusted him with the thing. And okay, no problem. He gave it back to them. And so we want to be the same way. As my students and those Muslims who are listening to it, and my students who may become Muslim one day, or maybe even pick up some of the behaviors of a Muslim. And I'm just telling you right now, these are the behaviors of a Muslim, the ones who believe in Allah, the ones that worship Allah, the ones who submit their will to Allah, the ones who fast the month of Ramadan, and also they pay zakat. I mentioned all these things. You go to some of my past episodes, you hear these things. I taught it to you, you know these things. And so also, you're talking about having someone entrusting you with something. And you have to make sure that you return it back to the individual. This is the behavior of a Muslim. If you don't know that, and you have been doing this kind of thing, then please start doing that. Practice the behavior of a Muslim so that people can entrust you. They can trust you. And they know if they gave you something, they're going to get it back in return the way they gave it to you. I want to read this last one, and then we will stop. Abu Hurairah also reported that the Messenger of Allah, and peace and blessings upon him, he said, a person whose neighbors are not safe from his evil will not enter the garden. Did you hear what I just say? The person or a person whose neighbor, and most of us have neighbors to our right, to our left, in our back, in our front, are not safe. I do not feel safe from your lips or from your hand or from your behavior or from your evil. These people, Prophet Muhammad, he said that they will not enter Jannah. They will not enter paradise. All of us want to enter paradise. And only two places you're going. Are you going to the paradise or are you going to the hellfire? So if you're not going to paradise, more than likely, logic will put it, or will have it, that you must be going to the hellfire. Who wants to go there? I go to my past episode, and you learn about a hellfire and what happens in the hellfire. I mention these things to you. You know, not that you don't know. I've been doing these classes for several years now. Some of you have been my student from day one until now. And so please, I want you to understand, Muslims and non-Muslims, and understand that if you are evil towards your neighbor, or that you are harmful towards your neighbor, or you hurt your neighbor with your tongue or with your hands, you will not be amongst the people that will enter Jannah. And Jannah is a very, very beautiful place, a place where you never grow old. You're always young. Anything that you want, you will get. Whatever you want, you will get. To say it pretty much, you will get it. It's like some, I say that you want an apple from a tree, or you're laying reclining on your couch, and you want an apple from the tree right now, we climb up a ladder, whatever, reach up and get the apple. But no, I want the apple from the tree. These are special apples. These are beautiful apple fruit like we never tasted before. The tree will come, the limb will come down to you. You pluck from the apple, by the time the limb goes back up, the apple has been replaced. And then you bite into the delicious apple, whatever apple you could think of, or fruit you could think of, so delicious, so moist, so tender, so fresh. And you bite into it, it's like, but it's nothing like here on earth. If the fruits of paradise, a Jannah, a garden in Jannah is nothing like this, like anything that we tasted before. The smell like nothing that we smelled before. The drink is like nothing that we drunk before. And so we want this, and we want to not to be the ones that avoid it. How do we avoid it? Are ones that get that void is from our lives, is that we are a person whose neighbors are not safe from our evil. We will not in the Jannah. From our vocal or what we say, not in the Jannah. From our hands, not in the Jannah. Any evil that we do towards our neighbor, is that we may be amongst those that will not enter into paradise. And so my beautiful students, I hope that you understand what I'm talking about when I'm mentioning to you the beauty of not harming people, the beauty of not hurting people or not hurting other people, the beauty of a Muslim not hurting a Muslim, the beauty of a Muslim not hurting other people. I want Muslims to understand, because a person is a non-Muslim, that don't mean it's open season on hurting them, cheating them. Maybe other people, other faith, that's what they do. No, but we don't do that. We don't even talk bad about people. If it's two Muslims and a non-Muslim is there, as I mentioned before, the two Muslims, they don't just start speaking in Arabic or talking in language that the other non-Muslims don't understand. Well, he may think or she may think we're talking about them and harming them. No. We speak in a language that they understand. If your tongue and your lips cannot say anything good, then be quiet. Don't say anything at all. If those lips cannot say what is good and what is fine, then you be silent. Hope put a something covering over your mouth, zip your lips, walk away, whatever you have to do, they keep silent. But you don't say bad things about people. You don't backbite people. You don't slander people. We don't do this. You don't harm people. You don't hurt people. So hopefully you all understand what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about Islam and you're talking about harming or hurting other people, I laid out for you some basic information about Islam and Islam position regarding harming and hurting of others. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.